fiction. The hobby is the people. Weekly news and interviews. It's your number one source. Sports Card Nation. The hobby is the people. Sports Card Nation.
Welcome to another stocked and loaded episode of the Sports Card Nation podcast. The show that brings you all the important hobby news, discussions, debates, opinions, info, and interviews with key hobby and sports dignitaries.
What is up? Welcome to episode 100 of the Sports Card Nation podcast. Sounds weird to say, guys, not going to lie, but here we are doing this. You know, we did 99 episodes, never one in this fashion. And so it's not necessarily new to me with doing Hobby Hotline and Roughing the Passer, which are both live podcasts. But this is the first time this show has done this in this fashion. And so be prepared. Might be a few hiccups. Hopefully not. But I wanted to do something different for 100. And so here we are live. Thank you for joining me. But not thank you just for today, everyone. Thank you for the last 2 years, for what this show has went from. I would have never guessed it. And I'm not just saying that. You know, I know people like to be humble and modest and honestly, would have never guessed where we would come. And the show is because of you. I mean, we don't exist without the listeners and the downloads out there. So first off, sincere thanks for getting us to 100. This is your show. It's you know, when we started the show, we weren't actually a guest show. We didn't do interviews. It was just kind of me. And then I realized pretty quickly, probably less of me and more of other interesting people were going to be the recipe for the show being better. And that's kind of the direction we went into. And the show just kept growing, you know, beyond anything I even envisioned. And again, here we are almost 2 years. November 10th is actually our officially 2 year anniversary, but here we are in episode 100. This is our 48th straight week of producing a show. I guess I'm the Cal Ripken of podcasting. Just kidding. But next week, we are going to take a week off. We got some prizes to ship out and just going to take a break and decompress. But speaking of prizes, we have 13 prizes to give away on this show. This show, I'm going to start out here. We've had 77 guests on this show since episode 4, when I believe the first guest appeared. We are going to, I'm going to name each one. I know it's not exciting. I'm going to go through it quick. We're going to name each guest because they give in of their time. No, we don't pay guests to appear on this show. And so I want to acknowledge each one. You know, even when I was determining, guys, you know, who I wanted to have here on episode 100, I mean, ideally, I would have loved to have everybody that I had on the show, but then we'd have a 24-hour live stream, and we're not going to do that. So, but I also want to acknowledge each and every one that went on the show. So, again, and happy Halloween. Yes, I got orange on under my pullover here. But you know, if you're listening to this live, thank you. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, not live, just keep in mind, this might sound different than the typical SCN episodes you might be accustomed to. We're doing it for the first time live. So you may hear me respond to a comment or something on screen that you normally would not hear me react to when you know, the lights are off and I just have the microphone on. So, you know, all the congrats coming in the chat room, guys, I can't thank you enough. And I mean that sincerely. You know, I talked about you guys, the listeners, and you first and foremost have allowed me to do this, and I love to do it, and it's thanks to you that I get to do it. But, you know, as other people think, again, the guests, and we are a sponsored show. It's funny. That's another thing. When we started the show, I never really even thought about having sponsors, and a few people approached me, and it went from there. So I know it sounds kind of odd, but the sponsorship was almost accidental. And we're going to be, you know, even though we're a live show, we're going to be running those real quick 30 to 1 minute ads at different points into the show. They've helped a lot of the giveaway prizes, the 13 prizes that we're giving away today. A lot of them are thanks to the sponsors. And so I want to, you know, besides the guests, I also want to acknowledge those folks too, because they make it happen. So without further ado, I'm going to put some slides up here, and these are in order of appearance too. So I want to thank each one of these people individually. Again, I'll go through it quick. Okay. In order of appearance, Clay Plogger, Deke Sports Vault, Ryan Johnson, Sarah Brandon, Tim Virgilio, Eric Norton, Drew Herndon, who will be on this show, Shane Campo, Ryan Yancey, Mike Summer, Andy Pratt, Brody the Kid, who will be on this show, my son Jordan Newman, who did the NFL preview episode with me, Blake Bollinger, Stu Stone, Luke Paschal, John Chesikovsky from the National Baseball Hall of Fame, Nick Wasica, Ken Carl, Pat Geek, Jeff Hoffer, Vince Otullo from That Sports Card Show, Joey Shiver, Dub Mentality, Tim Carroll, Peter Steinberg, SGC, Mark Humphreys from The Pit, Tim Shepler, Richard Black, Matt Hanscom, Steve Chada, Tyler Santiago, Chris from Crack and Wax, Comments for Kids, Lou Popper Jr., Ken Kinsley, Stephen Heather Winfrey, Rich Klein, Marlon Carlson, Jimmy Mahan, Brian Gray, Chris Stuber, Chris Carlin, Anson Whaley, Brian Flynn, Tom Guiderman, Richard Davis, Paul Foulball Jones, Nigel Eccles, Brad Balukchian, Mike from Low End Cards, Craig Greinler, Tyler Murphy, Blake Jamerson, Randy Lurch, Rich Miller, Max Steiner, Jeff Dinson, Gregory Siff, King Saladin, JK5, Andrew Thiel, Sophia Chang, Kevin Anderson, Lon Walker, Tyson Beck, Matt Taylor, we're coming down the home stretch, I promise, Mitch LaRock, Garrett and Parker Frederking, FDOT, William Taglis, Seuss, Card Killer, Ken Golden, my father, Barry Newman, Brandon Steiner, Tony Bianchini, and Jeremy Lee from Sports Card Live. And so, guys, 77 guests. The three guests that I'm going to have on this show, been on the show before. And like I said, I every one of those 77 guests, I can't say thank you enough. And I'm sure you appreciated what their insight and what they brought to each of those shows. And some of them we're going to have back on again. On today's show, we're going to have Drew Herndon from Let Me Get That Podograph, Dr. James Beckett, and Brody the Kid. There's a sort of a method to my madness there. I'll kind of go over that and all that stuff. But I want to thank a couple sponsors right now, because without them, again, we don't have a show as well without them and the listeners. So do their normal ad like you would see. 101, Steve Chad, a great guy. Happy to have him as part of the show.
One of One Card Shop offers a tremendous breaking experience, great customer service, and they're constantly pulling fire. Steve and his family take care of you like one of their own and treat you right. Anyone can break, but no one treats you like One of One. Come check them out on Instagram at @one_of_one_card_shop for all the hot breaks. Get a gold mailer headed your way.
And guys, the other sponsor I want to thank, Pastime Marketplace, William Taglis. Someone's going to win, or two people are going to win, a Pastime Marketplace graded card case today. And so I want to thank them as well. William Taglis, great guy.
Pastime Marketplace offers a line of durable graded card cases made for collectors who want high-quality graded card storage that is virtually indestructible. Their cases are waterproof, dustproof, airtight, and designed to protect your valuable collection. Check them all out at www.pastimemarketplace.com. Protect your best with the best. And remember to save 10% off your total order. Use the promo code SCN10. That's capital S, capital C, capital N, 10 for 10% off your total order at pastimemarketplace.com.
All right, guys, before we get to my guests, they're in the room waiting. I don't want to keep them waiting too long. I want to give away three of the giveaway prizes. Two are shirts from SGC Grading. There are your winners. It's all from Twitter, from retweet contest, at OTJHERS. And the other winner of the SGC, these are extra large shirts, is IT Guard_8706. That is Garrett Frederking. I know who that is. And the third prize of the day that we're giving away is an SGC hat. And that winner is at Carl Riley Cards, at Carl Riley Cards. And we'll be giving away prizes as the show goes on, sporadically. But there are the first three. Congrats if that's one of you. All right. All right, folks. Again, episode 100. I can't thank everyone out there from listeners, guest sponsors, enough. And so at this point, I'm going to start bringing my distinguished guests on. I'm glad they were really, when I was debating who I would want to be part of the show, they really kind of came pretty easy to the top. Like I said, I'd love to have all 77 folks on, but I don't think I have the attention span. I definitely know you out there may not have it. So I had to narrow it down to three folks, and these folks, for various reasons, were very easy choices. I'm glad they all agreed to come on and celebrate episode 100 with me and you folks out there. And, you know, happy to have them. So I'm going to bring them on, I think, in age order, to be honest with you. So my first guest is the youngest guest we have on the show. Now, I take that back. He lost that title to Parker Frederking, but he was. But he's doing great things. 12 years old. I'm going to bring him on. Brody the Kid. Inspirational to me. At 47 years old, what this young man's doing. Hey, Brody, at 12 years old is inspirational. He's a great advocate in the hobby. Kids in the hobby are important to actually our whole panel today. And that's why I want to have him on. And I'm glad he's come on. How are you doing, Brody?
Good, man. John, thank you so much for inviting me. This is going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait. Thank you so much again for inviting me. I can't wait.
Oh, I appreciate you agreeing to come on, Brody. What you're doing, like I said, that's not lip service. That's someone been in the hobby a long time who started as a seven-year-old boy himself. It means a lot to me. So, all right, going to bring my next guest on. When I started this thing about 2 years ago and pretty new, not to the hobby, but to the content creation world, this gentleman was already doing it and kind of really reached out really early and asked what I needed, if I needed help, any questions. We formed a friendship. We do some co-shows too besides Hobby Hotline. By the way, Brody's part of that as well. Happy to have him on board.
That's
and you're welcome. And so, you know, my next guest is Drew Herndon from Let Me Get That Prodigraph. When we do an NFL show called Roughing the Passer, Hobby Hotline, and then both of our shows, and very instrumental to me. And we struck up a friendship very early. That's last, and I'm happy to have him as part of the show. Drew, welcome to the show.
What is going on, man? I guess I need to scoot on here since we got three things on. But what's up, buddy? There you go. How's it going?
Got his Halloween.
Congratulations on episode 100.
Still looks better than me with the mask on, the scary mask on. But I figured I'm ugly enough. I don't need any sort of extra like ugliness help. So, but Drew, you know, like I said in the intro, very inspirational. to me as far as when I first got started. You know, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if I'm the new kid in the block 2 years ago, you know, how would I would be viewed. And very early on, we struck up that kinship, and it's been good ever since, and even truthfully, it's gotten better. So let me bring on, last but not least, we're not putting these in order of ranking. Someone who's been in the hobby like myself for almost 40 years as a collector, as a dealer, as a show circuit person, as a content creator, as just an ambassador and a hobby advocate. This next gentleman, quite frankly, I can't give him any kind of introduction that probably is justice enough. But, you know, if you would have told me, honestly, I've said this on my show, if you would have told, you know, 15-year-old me doing the show with my price guides that I would meet this, you know, get to know this gentleman and call him a friend, I would have probably thought you were pulling my leg keep it clean. And, you know, and the fact that I've gotten to know him, and what a great gentleman and nice guy, down to earth, which, you know, you always have this perception of people, right or wrong, that you kind of think, and then you meet them and like they're even better than you imagine. And so happy that he's given some time to this show. I've been on his show. He's a content creator with Sports Card Insights. Great show. Every day, 15 minutes, covers who knows what. And it's great stories of the hobby history and his personal history, and even not his history. He goes out there and talks to folks, and I learn something every day. And that's something you should try to do in this hobby, no matter how much you know. So without further ado, I left him off screen long enough. Dr. James Beckett, welcome.
Thanks, John. Brody, I started when I was 7, and Drew, you certainly were helpful to me as well. So, and John, you're becoming a legend in the
I'll let you say that. I'm not gonna I get in trouble, but no, I, you know, that's the beauty with this hobby, guys, is it should encompass any age, any background. You know, when I got in at 7 years old, you know, I had no idea where my hobby path was going. I just knew I like cards. I like, you know, messing with them, looking at them, putting them by teams. I wasn't even thinking of, you know, I think that's the beauty when you start at a young age. You don't know the monetary value yet. Although this generation might be a little bit of a story with social media, but wasn't around when I was 7. But, you know, it's just amazing. And so, you know, when I determined who I kind of wanted to be part of this show, I just tried to encompass sort of almost my hobby history. I hate to, you know, for lack of a better way of saying that, Brody is a better looking version of a younger version of me, but he reminds me of me. And to think, you know, at 12 years old, I was super shy. Like, I would not be doing, if social media was around at when I was 12, I wouldn't be doing it. And so the fact that he can get in front of a camera at the National, not even in front of a camera, but in front of thousands of people at the National, and be composed and poised, that I take a lot from that. You know, Drew is similar to me. I'm a little bit older than him, but he got the content creation start before I did. And so we share similar stories, but he really kind of helped me along the way. And like I said, with Dr. Beckett, he just, I mean, you know, he's not going to tell you this, but if there ever was a Mount Rushmore of the sports card hobby, he's definitely going to be one of those people up there. And I'll say it if he won't. And
I'll back you up on that one.
Yeah, and you know, we know where we are in the hobby in 2020, and he's his influence and what he's done for the hobby is a big reason why. And so I'm happy, you know, for someone who's been in the hobby 30 years, he's just synonymous with the hobby from a young age to where I am now, and happy to not only you know, having me a guest on this show, being a guest on his show, but getting to know him as a person and as a friend. So that's kind of where this all kind of intertwines. And again, thanks for coming on, guys. I can't tell you what that means to me. Very, very special.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting us, man.
Yeah, congratulations, man. I just hit 100 myself a couple months ago. It's a big one, I know. So it's a lot. It's a lot of work. People that don't do this stuff don't realize how much work goes into it if you want to make a good, compelling, interesting show. You know, you've done a wonderful job with that. So honored to be on, brother.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, Drew. And someone who did it first, that means a lot to me. So first panel question I want to get to, I kind of touched on it already. And Dr. Jim just had a gentleman on his show, and they talked about this. And his teacher, his name is escaping me at the moment, but that's my old age showing. But, you know. What can companies and the hobby, not just the companies, because I don't think it's fair to just say, hey, the company's got to do something to make this hobby better for the kids. I mean, they're part of the hobby, but I think all of us as hobby people are also involved. And so, you know, I know the gentleman that Dr. Beckett had on Sports Card Insight did an after school program where he even used it sort of in a way for math lessons and collecting. And so right there, that's a great idea in itself. But what else, too? Bigger picture, you know, card hobbies, card companies, and just us in general, just people to hobby in general. What can we do? Because if you ever heard my show, you know, like, you know, there's got to be a lot more Brodies to take the baton and move the hobby forward. And just like I was I was Brody at 7 years old when I got my start. Dr. Beckett was a young man when he got a start. I mean, that's usually the classic story. It's not 100% of the time, but that's usually someone's hobby history. They started as a young person. Sometimes they never gave it up, like in Dr. Beckett's, case. And then, but they always seem to gravitate back to it. And here we are. Mm-hmm. And so I'll open the floor. I rambled enough. I mean, what any ideas here like that hasn't been done yet? Rudy.
Well, I think there's a lot of things. I think that what the companies are doing with the Kids Create from Panini and Topps with the Future Stars Club are definitely great starts. I think I would love to see Upper Deck do something like that too for hockey. That would be pretty awesome. I think as far as people in the hobby, I think it's as small as you go to Target and you see the brand new Donner's football and there's two blasters there. You take one and you leave one and hope a kid gets it. Well, the chances a kid gets it are probably pretty low. But, I mean, you never know. I mean, if he did get it, then you know in your heart that you did something very kind to a kid that wanted to get some Donner's as well. And I think that's the good – like you say, John, the hobby is the people.
The hobby is the people. Yeah. Like when I came up with that tagline, it's just how I felt. Like the cards are so important. Listen, we wouldn't be in a hobby without the cards. But, you know, the cards, the hobby is the people, because without us, the hobby wouldn't be thriving as it has here in a crazy year of 2020. You know, whoever else, Drew, Dr. Beckett,
As far as the companies, I think they're starting to do a good job. I would like to see, I mean, like Birdie said about the stuff at retail and everything. I think on that end, I know Panini's trying to work out some type of way where they can guarantee a way that if a kid wants something under a certain age, that they're allocate, like they have a special allocation for a certain age and below, that if you can prove it's for this, they're trying to work out kinks for programs like that, so kids can get blasters and things like that. But beyond that, I mean, the companies are in a difficult situation when we're talking about getting people in at 7 years old, because the social media aspect, 7 year olds aren't on social media. So, I mean, they've really got to do it through, I mean, card shows, maybe be more involved at local card shows, get more involved at those. You have reps across the country, get get them involved, have the card shops more promotions. But then in terms of the people in the people in the hobby, I mean, to get kids more involved, I think as a parent, at least, it comes down to, like I'm doing with Jude right now. Jude's learning about PSA. He's learning about grading. He's learning about the increase in value. He's learning about all this stuff at 5 years old, and he's loving it. Like he thoroughly enjoys this and is now asking me when he can send more stuff off. And so I think the earlier you can actually talk to people, explain the stuff to your kids, and I think that's where it starts at in terms of what we can do as a younger generation to move it forward. Because I mean, you're kind of in a tough place at that young age.
All right.
Yeah.
You want me to weigh in? Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I need to give credit where credit is due. Kevin O'Keefe is the guy you're talking about.
Yes.
Your neck of the woods, and was very helpful. I do plan, you know, since I do short format, I do plan to tackle that issue with other guests, because I think it's really crucial. And so I have another one coming up, and a couple of ideas have come up that haven't been expressed yet. One is that it's not about culpability or blame, but we need to add the leagues and the players associations to this dilemma and to the potential solution. Is the card companies, they have licenses from those entities that say what they can and can't do. And if the leagues and the players cut them some slack or said, you know, we need you to do a certain number of kids' products, and we're going to, cut you some slack for those products to make it so you can be profitable and we can promote the hobby. So that was one idea that came up. The other thing, Brody, is I like your idea, except that, and again, human nature being what it is, if you go to the Target or the Walmart and there's two blasters left,
they're probably taking both blasters.
Buy them both. And then if you want to, you know, sell or give one to another kid, but I don't like the chances of leaving one behind, because I have the kids aren't the ones that are popping in those. And then the another historical thing, back in the day, in the junk wax day, there was a company called Treat.
Oh yeah.
And Treat was a repacker. They did repacking. And so basically there was an element of kid aspect to that.
Yeah.
Because they were taking some unwanted cards and then putting a chase element in there and repack. And I saw their operation. It was absolutely huge. And they were able to, they could make lower priced packs that, yes, they were in the Walmarts and all those as well. And I don't think the adults, some adults went after them, but they were affordable for kids. And so I think there's an opportunity for distributors or some enterprising company to do repacks to where you get 100 cards, and maybe only a couple of them are good to a collector.
Right.
But the other 98 are still collectible to a kid.
Oh, yeah.
There's still some reasonable value there. But so much of what's happened in the hobby now, the price of new product is not driven by what's in that pack as much as driven by what potentially could be in that pack.
Right.
It's a huge, huge chase number. Yeah. And so that's not only not friendly to kids and potentially not sustainable, it's troubling even for adults. And so to put a product that has less variability in terms of what you get in the pack, you know, would be a way to make it more reasonably priced and to bring some kids in. But little kids want what the big kids have.
Yep.
That's
And Herman writes right here, you know, he says right here, he's packed up some shoe boxes with packs, top loader sleeves, and gives that critic. And as a, you know, good job, Herman. That's awesome.
I normally give them out at Halloween. Obviously, this year we won't be, but every year since I've been back in the hobby, I've always put stuff, candy with cards, and given that stuff out, you know, at Halloween, little things like that. But, you know, Every little bit helps because you never know what's going to spark someone's interest. I remember, I mean, when I started collecting as a kid and I was a real young kid, I was collecting Terry Pendleton because I found one cool card. I liked the Braves and I was like, wow, this is neat. And it just, it free fell from there, you know, and you never know what that's going to be.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've told the story, people ad nauseum, you know, it was that Reggie Jackson had that 79 Topps back. Yep. I'm a New York City kid. He was like Mr. New York City at that time, you know, with Mr. October. And like soon as I got, it was like the third or fourth card in, and I just wanted more cards, you know. I remember trading my friends. They wanted the gum. I wanted the cards. So I'd give them, I'd open my pack here. You can have this gum that's not that great. What are you going to give me for cards? And, you know, I want to get my cavities just through soda and other means, but at least I had more cards in that process. And so there's always something that the hook that keeps us in. And, you know, all great ideas. You know, we have some things that exist, you know, National Baseball Card Day with the LCSs. I think that's a great idea. I'd like to see, you know, again, this is coming from someone who only went to one national, which was 2 years ago in Chicago. I think we could do a little, I mean, it's easy for me to say and play armchair, you know, national executive board, but maybe a few more younger events for younger folks, maybe a section. You know, another thing, and walking around the national, the 4 days that I was there, and I didn't even have to look. They were just pouring out of the garbage. They were just, people would open their packs and the cards they didn't want. They were literally throwing. It made me cringe as someone who's been in this hobby a long time. I like it was like nails on the chalkboard to me. And like maybe, and I know, I think it was me and Rich Klein were talking about this. Maybe have like a receptacle, not a garbage can, but like a box where what those who don't want those cards, like they open the pack, take what they want, put the non-wanted cards in this box so they can be, or kids can come by and just say, help yourself. You know what I mean? Like there's samples on a lot of different companies' tables, you know, free samples. Let the kids have, go through the box and take what you want, you know.
And that's maybe where I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just I think that's where having some sort of presence at a lot of these smaller shows. Like I know like Inside Pitch Promotions, who runs the shows here in North Carolina, like if card companies and people like that could get any type of input into those shows, the smaller type of shows, I think that would be a major, major help, because a lot of kids, you know, won't make it to the national, you know, they won't be able to travel. They won't be able to get there. They won't be able to experience the one company that does kids right, I think, at the national tops, you know, it's so loud, I couldn't do my show that day. I mean, but other than that, it's bare as in terms of stuff for kids, in my opinion. But I think that's where having that footprint at a lot of those local, small, even the smallest shows around that you can find, having somebody there, just having a rep there, having something there, having some kind of imprint that kids can leave walking out, you know, having a little more information about it.
Yeah.
And even the boxes that they make that are geared towards kids, opening day, big league. Maybe put a few more things in there. You know, kids love a game use card, an autograph. I'm not saying you throw 1,000 more Mike Trouts in there, although if they want to do that, I'll sign on the dotted line for them. But, you know, I mean, think about being a younger kid, even younger than Brody, and you open a pack and you get, you know, an autograph card. And I know they have stuff in there. I'm not accusing them, but maybe a little bit more, you know. I don't know what the, you know, if it's one or two, maybe make it three or four. And that way those kids get to experience what we as adults even enjoy and give us an adrenaline rush as well. And things like that, I think we can do, I think we all can do a little bit more. I know I've donated a lot of cards, as well to charitable and kid organizations, and Rich Klein would have had that Chevron and they give those at the door of the shows. And I've always, you know, and I know, listen, I'm a lot of people are doing this. I'm not, you know, I'm always trying to sort of pass the hobby on, be an advocate. That's something we can all do. It doesn't really cost a lot of money other than maybe shipping here and there. And, you know, even, you know, doing shows as a show dealer. And I had Jeremy Lee on, and he's in the room. Hi, Jeremy. And
what's up, Jeremy?
We talked about, you know, he's a show dealer, and we've done things at our own table to, you know, with kids. I've I've had instances where kids looking at a card and he asks his dad, and I know he's asking his dad, can I get it? And dad says, oh, not right now, whatever the reason is. And I've pulled, you know, I don't know how many times, but I pulled that card out of the case and give it to the kid. Here you go.
Yeah.
And the kid's looking at me like, what?
Like that.
I can't buy it. I'm not selling it. I'm giving that to you. And the dad's like, oh, you don't have to do that. I'm like, I know I don't have to do it. I want to do it. And little things like that can – someone else can pay it forward. It made their day. Let's be real. You know, if it's a monthly show or a quarterly show, when those father and son come back, they might come to my table and maybe buy something next time. And it's not going to hurt me with a decent inventory to do that. Makes you feel good. It's good for your soul. Yeah. And, you know, things like that. There's just so many different things. I think we're all sort of, the old Charles Barkley, we're not role models. I think we're all sort of ambassadors. If we're in the hobby, we should be an advocate and ambassador hobby, because, you know, there's got to be someone that comes up behind us, or otherwise, like Dr. Beckett said on the show with that gentleman, if there's no one that takes the baton and runs with it, this is when the hobby's going to tail off. I mean, it's never going to go away, but it's not going to be thriving and what we know it as today.
Well, I think another really great idea is kids clubs at LCSs. I've seen them before. My LCS started a year ago. Haven't been able to do it as much because of COVID and everything. But I mean, it was really cool. Every month you would check in, you get like something small, maybe like a blaster, something. I mean, still really cool. And then at the end of the month, they'd have a little raffle where it was like four big prizes, like a couple blasters, since we live in Chicago, like maybe a Chris Bryant picture or something. And then if you didn't get one of the big prizes, you got a pack of Top Series 1. Like, it was really cool just to see. Like, sometimes there are 30 kids at the raffle, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, John, one more idea, you know, basically.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listening with interest, and, you know, like y'all have heard me in some of these other podcasts, I mean, I think like an entrepreneur. So, you know, these are good suggestions, but some of the suggestions that hobbyists have for what the card companies ought to do are not cost effective to them. They have a limited number of assets. So it'd be nice if they gave some, you know, autographed and game used, but there's a real cost to that. And there's a scarcity there. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, it'd be great if they came to some of these smaller shows, but again, there's a cost associated with that. So I'm thinking, what are the things that the card companies could do that wouldn't have a cost? One would be, and y'all know my second favorite show is Rich's show, because everybody walks in there and gets a bag of cards.
Yeah.
And most of them are not great. I've never gotten an autograph card out of there, but I've gotten a prize slip. I've gotten a group of 150 cards and all that. So, but what the card companies could do, which would have almost essentially no cost to them, it's something that Pacific and some of the others did back in the day, is doing a crimping of a base card that makes it a parallel that might be of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That, there's good almost idea, yeah. most of that. You'd have to make sure it was counterfeit proof.
Right.
But something like that, you know, would be very low cost. And you'd maybe only make it available to kids.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Something, there's a chase element that doesn't involve game used and autographs, because that's what's driving the prices up for these card companies, the limited assets. Anyway, another thought.
Yeah, here's another thing that I've thought about even recently. Sort of, it's sort of based off a movie, but it has some merit in the hobby. You know, we talked about these kid products, Big League, you know, Opening Day. Now the Kids Crate with Panini. What about, I don't know how many they'll do, one or two, three or four. What about like a golden ticket kind of thing in those products? And if a person pulls it and it's geared to kids, so if a dad pulls it, it's got to have, you know, it's got to go to a kid. Mm-hmm, right. But a tour of, you know, Panini, Tops, that, Upper that, Deck, that, yeah. Leaf, right? Their ticket and titles, they fly them in or arrange transportation for the young person. I don't want to say male or female, the young person and a parent. And they get a tour of the facility, see how the cards, you know, how the production goes. I mean, I know they're not produced there, but kind of show, they can still show them where the designs comes from, the offices, and get a tour of the place, almost like a you know, that Willy Wonka type of deal. And at the end, they get some sort of to-go grab bag. Here's a couple blaster boxes, some coupons, an autograph card of whoever. And congratulations on winning the prize. It gives that kid it's the golden ticket type of deal. That, I mean, I don't, you know, it might not be able to call it that, so to speak. I know they did that. They did that with the Topps products for the 100 years or whatever they termed it. And something on a kid sort of kid friendly level where the kid gets to tour the facility, meet some folks, get a grab bag of free goodies at the end. The dad or mom has a great time in the process too. And I mean, just stuff like that. And that's probably, you know, Dr. Becker makes a great point with the cost efficiency to put a lot more autographs. And this would probably be a lot lesser and easier to do than just loading up the box necessarily more with a bunch of more autos or game use stuff.
Well, to add on to that, one of the things that Panini does that I think a lot of people don't really know as much is the Panini Super Bowl Kid Reporters.
Yeah.
A lot of times they insert them. I think it's like one in every two packs has one on the back. Mm-hmm. And one kid, one random code that's entered, gets to go to the Super Bowl, which is really awesome. They do that with NASCAR, too. They get to go to one of the big races, which is really cool. And I think, I mean, like, that's awesome.
Oh, Jude can't wait till he's at the age where, like, he's 2 years away from being eligible. And he already knows, because I've explained, he's asked what those are, and I've explained to him. And he can't wait till we actually get to use them.
I hope he wins. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I just want to see kids open a pack, and I want the adults not to rain on the kid's parade. If the kid opens up a pack and he gets a Mike Trout card, I don't want the dad or the chaperone or the person to say, yeah, but it's not autographed.
Yes, or, exactly.
Yeah, but it's not a parallel. Or, yeah, but it's no game used in it. Or, no, it's not a rookie card. Hey, that's cool. You got a Mike Trout card. He's a great player. And, take care of that card. I mean, that's
exactly.
Even if it's a base card and not, oh, let's take that right over to BGS and get it graded.
Right. You know, yeah.
To be appreciated. Yeah. The fact that it was simpler days back in the day. You just had a card of the player.
Yeah, that's a great point, because they're taking, and sometimes I'm probably guilty of forgetting that myself. You know, kids are taking the cues from the adult. And if you're kind of negative or a little bit Debbie Downer, or maybe that pack they just opened, they're going to hear that, take their cues from that. And you know, it sounds like a small moment in time, but it might be the difference whether that kid collects baseball cards or goes to the Yu-Gi-Oh or something else, which is that's fine too. To that, I may not have an interest, but you know, all great suggestions. You know, for as old as the hobby is, there's going to be many more years. There's going to be new ideas and new innovations. I'm sure we're going to, you know, even some of the stuff we may have just spoke about, we may see come to actually fruition. I got to run a quick 1 minute commercial, give away a couple more prizes, if you guys bear with me, and then we'll tackle our next topic. Iron Sports Cards, guys. Rob at Iron Sports Cards, great guy. He's giving away on this show today 5 vintage level cards. Someone's going to win that later in the show. Here's Iron Sports.
Let me tell you about Iron Sports Cards and Collectibles. They're your number one source for all your PSA and now SGC submissions. They offer various service levels at the lowest prices around. They even provide the card savers your cards need to be submitted at no extra charge. Their elite status helps improve turnaround times, and their chat rooms keep you abreast of your subs and the status of your cards. What are you waiting for? Contact Rob on Facebook on Iron Sports Card Group. That's Iron Sports Card Group on Facebook. Or get a hold of Rob on Twitter at Iron Sports Cards. All one word, at Iron Sports Cards. They'll take care of you.
All right, couple more prize giveaways real quick. The Greg Jeffries autograph card, courtesy of Signatures for Soldiers and Tim Virgilio. That's going to go to at Michael underscore Tuckle. Hopefully I didn't butcher that too much. Also, the Game Used lot is going to at Cool Run 84. That's a bunch of Game Used cards, autographs, at Cool Run 84. And one more before we get to our next question. The piece of the Carry Dome here in Syracuse. Nice. They took down the old dome, put a new one up, and they made collectible pieces out of the old dome. Brandon Steiner from Steiner Sports was in charge of that. He was graciously gave one of these to give away on episode 100. And the winner of that is Marlon at Sparty Hawk Cache, an authentic piece of the Carrier Dome.
All right. Congratulations.
All right, guys. Next question. We're all content creators here in 2020. In 2020, everything's exploded. The hobby in general, all facets of it, from grading to fractional share markets and content creation, too. When I started this show, there was probably, I don't know, maybe 10 shows that were doing, consistent content creation. And here we are, probably hundreds. And when you count YouTube, we're thousands of show. Kind of your guys' thoughts as being involved in content creation. Is it just because of the boom of this year, if you will? And this is like, is it go with way the hobby goes, or you think it's just a sign of the times?
Well, I mean, you talked about having 10 on when you started, when Stu and I started this show. I mean, I had to search forever to find Fat Packs and other shows that were out. There just wasn't anything around. So seeing it now, I think obviously you've seen a lot more of just the general YouTubers and stuff coming in and going into the sports cards and everything, into that market. And yes, a million podcasts have sprung up. And I mean, I think it's a great thing for the hobby if the podcast or the content that's being created is truthful, honest, good, quality, and it's going out there with a purpose to help and educate, inform, or entertain, not to put up so there's a lot of this stuff where it's just putting up false rumors that are just clickbait stuff that turns into that gets 7 different websites to follow and then 30 different Facebook posts, and then these rumors are getting started. They're just absolute total nonsense. So in that regard, it's a lot more frustrating. But I think if you go into it, I love having all of it. I've always said I love the I know we're all quote unquote competition, but I mean, John, I mean, you and I have become great friends, do countless shows together. I think we do as many shows as there were when I started this show together now, honestly. And so, I mean, I love seeing the boom. I think it's awesome. But I do think a lot of this sprung up with the COVID stuff, too. A lot of people were bored. A lot of people had a webcam. A lot of people were watching these shows, had been watching them, and they were like, hey, I mean, driven to boredom, I'm going to do it, especially if the wife's driving you crazy or something. Maybe that's their escape for a little while. So, that might have a little bit to do with it. But then you also have the side of just any of the popular YouTubers. They're going to jump on anything that's trendy. And you see that right away with all of these Logan Pauls and all these other people that immediately jumped on the sports card bandwagon once it, you know, got a little more popular.
Well, and I think you mentioned Logan Paul. I think having all these celebrities collect is going to lead to great things. I mean,
yes,
it's booming the hobby. And for people that don't spend too much money, obviously, that aren't as rich as Steve Aoki and stuff, like, I've watched a couple of Steve Aoki stuff. They give away a lot of stuff. John is giving away stuff on this show. Like, there are a lot of ways to get stuff, and I think that's amazing. And especially when you get Steve Aoki, who's got a lot of money. He's going to give away some.
He's no awesome bro. Stuff. He's no Brody the Kid, bro.
No, yeah, I know you're
trying
to
be modest and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, bro, you know, Brody's got a nick. You know, there's not a lot. That's one of the reasons I admire Brody is this at 12 years old that he's kind of cornered the market. You know, there's a lot of 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old content creators. Not a lot of single digits, especially in the sports card side of things. I know there's a kid that I think's made $1 million just reviewing toys. I don't know. I just heard about him. I don't know who he is. And I'm glad we have Brody here in the hobby market and in the sports card. And he's not reviewing toys. But, I mean, that kid's made a career. I don't know how old he is. I think he's in the single digits. And just reviewing toys. And, man, I could have did that back then. There just was no social media around. So, you know, but so Brody's kind of – he's got his own little – he's got it all on lockdown. But, you know, I'm curious to Dr. Jim. You're not obviously new to the hobby, but, you know, with the podcasting, not anymore, but – you're sort of one of the newer entrants at the time, like sort of your thought process.
Even. Well, I've always been about content creation, you know, from the very beginning. And basically when I got started, which was more than a year ago now, and again, you guys were inspiration, both of y'all podcasters, Drew and John. But I chose audio and instead of YouTube and, YouTube, it's a lot easier to be flashier and to be more sensational. Whereas if you're audio, you're telling a story, you're giving information. Like Drew said, you need to be entertaining and informing and you need to be accurate.
Yes.
On YouTube, you don't necessarily have to even be a content creator. You're a content responder or a content sensationalizer. And so you can develop a following by being controversial where it's, you know, if you're an audio podcaster, you've really got to have solid information or people, they're just going to tune you out. Mm-hmm. So, but my big concern right now is realizing that by committing to being on this show, I have exposed myself to Jeremy Lee, whom I told that I probably couldn't make it 2 hours. And now Jeremy is going to say, okay, dude, you said you'd only be on my show for an hour. You owe me an hour.
Well, he told me you went an hour and 15 minutes. So you technically
stretching it, but it was past my bedtime. But I'm now in deep trouble with Jeremy. But so I owe Jeremy at least 45 minutes and maybe an hour.
And Brody, well, I think he's listening, so he's going to hold you. I'm pretty sure he's going to hold you to that.
Brody, I need to get you on your show because, in fact, I need to hurry and do it before you get to be a teenager. I thought you already were 13.
No, that was me. I made him old. Yeah. I kept calling him 13 on the show when he's 12.
You're 12?
Yeah, I'm 12 and a half, so almost 13. Yeah.
Everything.
In a couple months, I'll be BTT, Brody the Teenager.
Cool.
Yeah, I joked with him on Hobby Hotline the other day, Dr. Beckett, because I said, like, when you're not a kid no more, what's the name? What are you going to call your show?
Known on 18 BTA, Brody.
Right.
Adults.
Well, I guess he's going to have to do with, like, what those rappers that go with the Lil problem. I mean, they keep it when they grow up. Bow Wow kept it for a while, so Brody can keep it for a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Just switch it to TK, just Brody TK, and there you go. We'll work on that marketing because you will. I know you'll still be doing it.
Yeah, and with me, I've said this on the show, guys, plenty of times ad nauseum. You know, I feel like I really sort of kind of got in at a good time. There was, like I said, 5 to 10 shows. Yeah. I learned very early on, episode 4, we had our first guest out of the 77 we had. I learned early on, less of me and more of the guests makes for a more interesting show. I'm modest and humble enough to figure that out. And I think it was a wise choice here, 96 episodes later. And, that's the beauty of content creation and podcasts and shows is you can make them kind of what you want. You can pivot too. You can change. I've had segments on the show that are no longer on the show. I introduced new segments. I knew early on that me just talking by myself was not that exciting. And so we had to do something else. And so in came the guests. That's the beauty. You know, I knew I kind of didn't want to just report on hobby news only. I think because a lot of the time when I hear that, it's like stuff I've already kind of consumed from reading it, because I do a lot of like reading on hobby stuff. And so I kind of like been there, done that. But there's a place, not everyone is reading it when it breaks, you know, breaking news. They might not get it as fast. So there's a place for all these. Like Dr. Jim said, I have a face for radio, but I'll do some YouTube stuff and just hope my camera doesn't break, so I don't have to buy a new one that quickly. But there's just it's something for everybody. If you can't find something you like or can enjoy, you're probably not looking hard enough. Like I said, like Drew said, with 1,000 shows, which I believe were probably, if you literally someone actually went through and counted. Yeah. You're probably looking at four digits. They're probably there.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and so, you know, like Drew said, and maybe some of it's a product of the pandemic. Whatever the reason is, there's some great shows. Yeah. I listen to other shows. Everyone out in this quad box right here, I listen to your stuff as well as other shows not pictured here. And that's the beauty of content creation. You can kind of pick and choose what you want. Some shows are every week, like this one, and Drew and Brody. Some are every day, like Dr. Beckett's. And it's short bursts and definitely consumable. Mine is longer. People message me. I listen to it on the way to work. And on the way home from work, and on the way to work the next day, and on the way home from But again, you know, all joking aside, there's just something for everyone. Short shows, long shows. Like when Dr. Becker was on, he pointed something out that I didn't even think about. Like he said, well, my show just as long as yours, John, because I do it five, 6 days a week, and it adds up to your one. But it's just... But to me, it's a lot more consumable. And go ahead, Dr. Jim.
Yeah. Compliment for you.
All right. I like those.
You are the podcasts that I like are the ones that are promoting the hobby, not themselves. Yeah. And you do that. And I just want to say thank you for doing that, because you tackle some topics that are awkward. You tackle them well. You have guests sometimes you've done some original stuff, but all through it all, you're promoting the hobby, not yourself. And I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, coming from you, I'm almost speechless. That doesn't happen too often with me anymore, but I thank you so much, Dr. Beck. It's because I care about, I have a passion for the hobby. And you know, me and you did a show with Mortality. I did a show about it. You did a show about it. You know, we don't like to always think about that, but someday we're not going to be here anymore. Hopefully that's later rather than sooner. And so I want to leave, you know, I know it's the old corny cliche line. I want to leave the hobby in a better place than potentially what I came in at. Now that naturally happens with advancement of technology and production and all, social media now that we have. But I also, you know, we hear a lot about the negative stuff, and I'll talk about that stuff too. I think you have to. But I also want, I want someone who may be listening to that show, and you never know when that's going to be, for the first time, to not listen to that show and say, man, this hobby sounds terrible. Yeah. Like, you know, man, is this show promoting the hobby, or right. is it like telling me, like, you know, go collect stamps or coin, you know? So I'm very careful. Like, I don't also want to ignore some of the negative stuff, because it's important and you can inform and maybe enlighten someone to what is going on, and not to maybe get caught into something after the fact. But at the same time, yeah. one thing I don't like to do is harp on it, because if you harp on it, that's kind of someone listening is going to think, man, is there anything good involved in this hobby? I just hear John right. talking about this, and then this right. is happening. Man, it's like the Wild Wild West. You know, and so I've tried to come to a balance with it actually being more positive than, and the fact is, it's not hard to do, because very simply put, there is a lot more positive going on in the hobby than the negative yes. stuff. So it's yeah. not, I'm not even gonna pat myself on the back there. It's just a matter of fact of, you know, I guess it's anti, you know, news. If you put on the news, they want to do all the rating stories and this bad and the president this and this, but you know, I don't want to do that when it comes no. to the hobby. You could, and we know some folks that do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just not going to be my style. That content's out there if someone wants to grasp onto it, but to me, if you love the hobby, you want to talk about a lot of the positive stuff.
Yeah.
Well, my compliment, John, I wasn't contrasting you with people that are negative about the hobby.
No, I know.
And Drew falls in that same positive boat for the most part as well of promoting the hobby. I was contrasting you with people out there that are, they call themselves content creators, but they're promoting themselves.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, if there's some value there, but you know, you've just got to be careful. I think yes. there's a distinction there.
Yeah, definitely.
Promoting themselves, and we don't. And again, just to pick on Jeremy again, I mean, Jeremy started out selling his own cards, but he quickly evolved into this pretty amazing mm-hmm. interview show that's very live, extremely interactive, and he's very gifted in that. So he's no longer promoting. Trying to sell his dupes and things like that. He's really promoting the hobby as well. And those are the ones I want to listen to.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, it's a fine line too. It's a great point you make, Dr. Jim, because as a seller, Newman Sports Cards, I pay sales tax, and I try not to, I know I bring some of it to whether it's this show or Hobby Quick Hits. I try to bring it more to Hobby Quick Hits, if anything, because I'm not trying to sell like Newman Sports Cards. It's not an infomercial for my own brand. That's not what I wanted to right. do. And so I don't always talk about it where maybe someone else would, or I make a point, I guess, not to. And I, if anything, like I did a show with how I was doing on that side. I know Mike has done those with his self-sustaining stuff. I actually don't like doing it, but sometimes I'll just go there. But I really, I try to avoid it for as long as I can. But 2020 has just been such a yeah. crazy year. It was one of those shows that kind of did itself. I was sort of the vehicle, but the content, you know, is or what it was, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you mentioned
go ahead.
The future with technology evolving. I just want to get your guys' opinion on this. Like, this kind of came to my head, kind of a random thought, but what happens when time travel is invented and somebody goes back to 1950s and say, and a kid's about to run a Mickey Mantle rookie card over on his bike, and he goes and steals the card and comes back into the future and it creates a PSA 10.
Oh, to have a kid. To have a kid. Man, Birdie, I wish I still had that imagination. I love it. I love it.
That's a good poll question. What will be the most popular hobby years in the DeLorean and with Dr.
There
Brown,
you go. Right? Yeah.
1952 is probably in the mix. 2011, right? My rookie year. And, 2009 for his Bowman Chrome. It's a
1996 with Pokemon right now, apparently.
Yeah. So again, depending who you're talking to, there's people believe that technology exists. Yeah. Although I'm not seeing an influx of cards.
I go on the treadmill every day, and I'll watch a movie or do something. So I'm just marching along there in my weight vest and getting a good workout. And actually this morning I'm doing Avengers Endgame, and. If you watch that movie, you remember that it does involve time travel and
yes.
convoluted. And at one point, Paul Rudd, the Ant-Man, talks about, well, don't you guys know the rules of time travel? And he starts listing out all the movies that you can't do. And the main thing he says you can't bet on sporting events that you know
the outcome of,
or pick up baseball cards that you know are going to be extremely valuable. So, Brody, there's some rules of time travel.
Yes, there are.
But I don't think it's going to happen because that's a possibility. It's tough to predict the future, though. So we can make decisions now that might have a pretty big impact on the future. If everybody says something, it's not going to be scarce in the future.
Right.
So, I've often thought the again, the people that are promoting their own stuff and stuff are saying, buy what I have.
Yeah.
And I think the other approach, the opposite approach is, I want to buy what you don't have.
Yeah.
I want to buy something that has gone up in price 110%.
Right. I
want to buy something that's still the same price it was. Again, if you have some knowledge that it has potential to go up, but it hasn't. So, different philosophy. Time travel would be a shortcut. I agree.
Yeah. All right, guys, if you bear with me, I got one more while you're on. I got one more commercial segment, a couple prize giveaways, and then I got one more question for our panel today.
Cool.
All right. One of our sponsors, Hotbox Cards, Matt Brown there does a great job. Subscription box every month. You go to the retail shelves, you can't find anything, they solve the dilemma. So happy to have them as a sponsor.
Hey folks, tired of going to the retail store and finding the wax shelves cleaned out bare? I've got the answer for you, and that answer is Hotbox Cards. They offer a monthly subscription service at a great price level. What's better than getting a box of sports cards on your doorstep every month? Not a whole lot. And these boxes don't cost a whole lot. Let me tell you what's in each and every hot box. 3 relic or auto cards, 3 unopened hobby packs, 50 bonus cards featuring stars, rookies, semi-stars, inserts, and parallels. And one in every 5 boxes has a red hot envelope with a surprise card. They also honor expired redemptions with a comparable item. So there's no worry about getting that old redemption card with nothing to show for it. Check them out at www.hotboxcards.net. October is legendary month. Baseball boxes will have a Laughlin World Series card, and football boxes will contain a legendary star. And put in promo code SC Nation. SC Nation, all in cap, and your box will contain an extra hit.
All right, and they are going to give away one of those subscription boxes for episode 100, and here's that winner. It's at JH Card Collector, at JH Card Collector. Congratulations, you won a hot box. And another prize before we get to our last question, it's a Blake Jamerson art card. Blake Jamerson, one of the top 2020 project artists, does great work. He's donated a card here, and the winner of that card is at Chuck2445, at Chuck2445. So congratulations to those winners. All right, guys. 2020's been, I think we've all have a lot of, years in the hobby. Brody, I'll count you in there too. But a lot of experience in this room. You know, 2020, I don't know. I can only speak for myself truthfully. I've never seen really anything to this magnitude, to this level. Went against anything I would have predicted, as I've said on the show many times. We're still in 2020. I understand that. We're still in the pandemic, and depending on who you speak to, we're, you know, if you ask the president, we're on the other, coming down the good side. If you watch the news, they tell you it's spiking. But whatever the case may be, I mean, just kind of where do we see the hobby going the rest of this year and into 2021?
I mean, me personally, I think you're about to see it take off even more. I think it is about to explode like you have no idea. I mean, when you have people like Rob Kardashian jumping into breaks and not even publicizing like that, like he's been jumping into breaks for a while, I guess, and not telling anybody, not promoting that he's doing it, just jumping in because he wants to hit something. Then when he hits something, obviously it becomes some massive story, you know, and it brings a ton of attention. But when you have all of this stuff going on, when you have Aoki doing that break where close to a million people are watching live, when you have all these big content creators coming in, when you have all of this, a lot of their fan base is going to come in. I think this stuff is just getting started. I think that the hobby is in for quite a boom in the next 12 to 18 months. I think it is going to really, really take off. Now, what happens beyond that, I'd have to see, because I was so wrong about what I thought was going to happen this year. I have no clue. But I'd like to see it continue. But I honestly think that we're just getting started and it's really going to take off. But I do... Yeah, I mean, it is ultimately, this is sports cards. It's ultimately going to depend on those draft classes and everything to perform. Yeah. And if the draft classes don't, then the guys, the second and third year players better be to keep that attention on the sport. But I think you're in for a huge boom, and I think you're going to see a lot more of that new money coming in.
Well, yeah, I definitely agree. And I'd just like to start off with that. I think the 2021 National is going to be huge.
Oh, enormous.
It's going to be crazy. I cannot wait for that. Especially it's going to be 45 minutes away from my house, so that's pretty nice too. But yeah,
rub it in.
Party at Brody's.
But
hobby hotline party at Brody's. Gotcha. Thanks.
but like what Drew said with the classes and all the different draft classes, depending on how everybody does. I'm hoping that the basketball class is still good, because you still want a couple guys to be really good. But I just hope there's no Ja Morant or Zion Williamson, because I don't know, because contenders draft picks came out at $300 a box, which I think is still insane. But we'll see. I hope it's not as expensive as last year, because I mean, it was crazy, man. I just it was hard, especially. For kids, man, like.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, what, really? Hey, didn't you shoot? Was it John you shot hoops with?
Yeah, Rui Hachimura. I shot hoops with.
Oh, that was nice. Nice.
Well, maybe it'll be James Wiseman next year.
There you go.
Him, Edwards supposed to be good. But then to talk about LaMelo Ball, who knows, man.
A lot of international guys coming in this year. It's gonna there's a lot of unknowns in this draft, so that's gonna be what's gonna push this. But you also got a lot of second year guys, Chuma Okeke, players, Hachimura, players like that that just didn't get run or were hurt for extended periods of time, didn't play in the bubble. That, you know, I think it'll be just fine.
Yeah, and Dr. Jim, I'm real curious to your insight here with. You know, between this year and where we're going as a hobby.
I was trying to figure out how I could craft a future episode on mine about draft classes and how there's a silver lining either way.
Right.
You know, if you get a poor draft class, that's only in the eye of the beholder at the time. If you look back and you get in your time machine, like Brody's suggesting, you know, you know, some of the, some, you know, Giannis was and Kawhi were not so highly touted when they came out.
No.
And so now that product, those products are through the roof. And so when you have, you know, a decent draft class or a lack of superstars, that the iconic perceived guys, because you don't know.
Right.
Not necessarily a bad, it might moderate the prices.
Yes. Because
the prices kept going up. And even Panini doesn't want the prices to go up so much that they're pricing people out. They want to optimize their pricing. Anyway, my other prediction for 2021 is that we're either going to see the demise of the fractional ownership model, or we're going to see explosion in it. Because at the National in Chicago, if all those things are cruising and a lot of money's coming in to this fractional ownership concept, there are no barriers to entry for that. But people, there'll be all kinds of new entrants. And now you've got, then you'd have deep-pocketed syndicates, you know, kind of quasi-public companies that are bidding on these glamour cards. And that will, you know, again, as a price guide guy, that further distorts the supply and demand, because you've got this extra demand, because it's almost like there's a hobby of the 1% and the hobby of the 99%. When you get above $1 million a card, intrinsic value, it's just a piece of cardboard. Maybe it's got a swatch. Maybe it's got an autograph. But the guy is not dead. And COVID, there's a limit to what you can play. And so that fractional concept, when you get above $100,000 for a card, is either going to fully blossom and get a huge number of people coming into that to get in on some of that, or it's going to flop, because these cards are being bought at very high prices, very high prices.
I agree wholeheartedly. And as someone who actually has bought into a few of those, not a lot of money, just dabbling, just to say I did and have something to talk about, I think Dr. Becker hit it right on the head. I think it's either boom or bust for that genre. It's either going to stick around. It's either going to be here for the long haul, or it's going to kind of just fade away. I don't think there's any in between. Answering my own question here, I think we're going to see a lot of innovations on the grading card. I think we're going to see a lot of movers and shakers and innovations and people trying to take that number one spot, regardless of who you think has it now. And people want that sharehold. They want to not be all lumped in together, whether that's grading automation, which has been brought to the table. Yeah. Who's going to be the first to use a computer to grade cards? Who's going to be the first to have the best be the premier when it comes to turnaround times? And I think we're going to see a lot of differences there. I think we're going to see, I've talked about it on both this show and Hobby Quick Hits, is wax distribution. I think we're going to see some changes there. I've seen here. I think I've seen them here locally in the Syracuse area, with stores retails not carrying them anymore. One of the stores just did away with their whole, Walmart's just did away with that. And so I think these companies are going to come up with new ways. You know, direct to consumer is already happening. That may increase even more. I think we'll see maybe some limits. Even the stores, even the retail that carry products, they're doing this already with, one per customer, two per customer type thing. I think we're going to see some innovations on that end as well. And some people may like some of those, some may not, depending on, where you are and what you do. And I think it's almost has to be done, because, for as big as the hobby boom is in 2020, right? What's the complaint? I can't get any product. My shelves are cleared off. And so if you keep getting, if you can't participate in your hobby, and there's always an answer. I mean, it's real easy just to walk away and say, I can't get product, I'm out. But some people aren't as persistent as other people. And so the fear is, if people keep getting shut out, they'll just say, you know what, I'm going to get rid of my cards, sell my cards. And so I think the companies are going to probably, I'm sure they're already doing it, not going to do it. There's going to be some new strategies, new policies, new ways to get products into consumers' hands to avoid that big complaint that, hey, the guy in front of me just cleared out the shelf and I got nothing.
Absolutely.
There's an analogy here for 2021, and we'll see what happens. But the analogy is to the stock market, the public companies, just NASDAQ, let's just say. So in the stock market, if you jump in and buy some stocks and they go up like crazy, like car stock has gone up, then you think, hey, this is great, you know, and then you invest some more money or, you know, you buy, sell, trade, whatever. You think, hey, stock market's great. If you get in the stock market and you say, you know, I bought some stocks and they went down, so I'm getting out of the stock market. That's not for me. Right. Maybe they just picked some bad stocks. Again, the analogy is pick some players that got injured, or you overextended into one product or one theme of your collecting. And so, but where it breaks down is that the stock market is you can buy whatever you want to buy. Okay. Mm-hmm. The difference is, and this is the interesting part, is you can't buy whatever you want in the stock market with IPOs, initial public offerings. You can't always get those. Then you have to go to the secondary market, you know, after they've originally worked their way out. And then you can get whatever you want, but you got to pay the next price, the secondary price. That's what's happening in our hobby. You're not able to get the initial offering to get it from the distributor, from the company, and then you're at the mercy of that further markup.
Yeah.
But there are always alternatives. Yeah. And that markup, it may go up, it may go down, but you don't get, not everybody gets the shot at the IPOs.
Exactly. No, that's a great point. It's a great point, but that, you know, it's going to be whatever, you know, whatever thoughts we have, it's good. This is the beauty of the hobby, at least to me, and I think you guys agree, is what's around the corner. What are we going to see next? Not just policy wise, but innovation wise, designs of the cards, how the product gets into our hands and other people's hands, and that's I being as old as I am, I really look forward to that to see what's around the corner, what's on the horizon. Gentlemen, I've got five more prizes to give away. Some of our bigger ones. You're more than welcome to hang out. I know some of you may have. I know Drew, you gotta get ready for Halloween. Yeah. Brody, speaking of Halloween, are you going trick or treating?
I'm going to be a zombie. An old Brody the Kid shirt under, and I'm gonna have some cards, like older junk wax cards are gonna kind of be like kind of destroyed, like with blood on, like fake blood on them and stuff. It's gonna be pretty cool.
Well, there you go. I like it, man. My son's going as an astronaut, but I gotta go get him ready to be an astronaut so we can go trick or treating. But John, before I take off, man, I just wanted to say honestly that it's been a pleasure. 100 episodes. Congratulations, man. It's been an honor getting to know you, both working with you on countless shows, this show, new shows that we've got announced coming up in the future, Rough in the Past, or everything from the main stage at the National, which we'll be doing next year as well, I'm sure. It's just been an honor, man. Keep it up. Can't wait to do episode 200 and hopefully a lot more, man.
I hope I live long enough. We'll go back to the mortality.
Hey, as many shows as I do, as many shows as I'm doing with you, you better. congratulations,
thank you,
bud.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good one. See
you. Thank you.
See you, Drew.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Dr. Jim.
You bet.
Yeah, thank you so much, John, for inviting me and being one of my best supporters. Was awesome. And thank you to Drew and Dr. Beckett for talking today. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Yep, a lot of fun. And speaking of fun, you're welcome to stay, Brody. You don't have to leave. I'm not kicking anybody out. I'm going to give away our last five prizes. I'm trying to, like an award show, I'm sort of saving the bigger ones towards the end here. And so the next one is five free PSA vintage level submissions, courtesy of Iron Sports Cards, one of our sponsors. They're giving a contestant, five free PSA vintage level grading submissions for free. And the winner is at Ruth3319, at Ruth3319. And the next prize, this is from us here at Sports Card Nation. It's an on-field Mike Trout jersey. It's not game worn. It's just a brand new with the tags on it. Just all stitched, just like the pros wear. Mike Trout jersey. And the winner of that is at Upstate New York Minor League Baseball, MLIB. Upstate NY MILB. That's Jim. I know this gentleman. Congratulations to Jim. You've won Mike Trout jersey. All right. The next prize, as we move closer, is actually two prizes. This is from one of our sponsors, Pastime Marketplace. And guys, I use Pastime Marketplace cases. These things are legit. If they weren't a sponsor, wouldn't change what I'm about to say. Waterproof, dustproof, secure. This really hard shell. You can throw these things around. William just announced he's doing a show kit. It's like a big case on wheels that holds graded cards. Going to be perfect for me. I don't know what this thing's going to cost me, but perfect for me when I do the shows and for you if you're at the perfect thing for the National. This thing's on wheels, got a handle. It's like one of those traveling suitcases, but geared to cards. We're not giving that away. It's still in prototype. It's not out yet. But he's giving away two graded card cases to the following two people. Let me pull up the graphic here. Here we go. At Kinerko Spinerko. I'm guessing he's a White Sox fan. At Kinerko Spinerko. And the other winner is at RudyGlove27. At Kinerko Spinerko, you win a case, and the other case goes to at RudyGlove27. Congratulations, gentlemen, I'm assuming. And our last prize, Brody, is going to be $100 PayPal out of my bank account. The winner is John Newman, some guy named John Newman. I'm kidding. It's a joke. All right. Let's see. Where is my shot? Right here. Congratulations goes to at Matt_Sherman52. At Matt_Sherman52. You will get $100 PayPal. If you want to donate it back to the show like they do at charitable, I'm only kidding. Congrats. I'm going to Matt. You're $100 PayPal richer. And so that's the show. I hope a minor glitch here and there, but, you know, again, we don't do this show normally live. I want to start out by thanking, again, my listeners, guys. We wouldn't get to 100 without you guys out there who download the show every day beyond anything I thought it was going to be when I started the show. When we started, you know, we were nowhere, obviously, where we are today. And it's first and foremost, it's you guys. I want to thank all my guests, all 77 guests, and obviously we'll have more in the future. Very important that this is a guest-driven show. If it was just me talking for over an hour, we wouldn't be on episode 100. That's just the God's honest truth. And so I appreciate every one of my guests, whatever, whether you're, you know, Parker Frederick King at 7, 8 years old to Dr. Jim Beckett, an icon of the hobby. We're all, the hobby is the people. That's all of us. And and obviously Brody the kid too. And so, you know, maybe we'll see some of these, you know, lives. I know Herman made a comment in the chat room. I did a pretty good job kind of manning the boards. Maybe it'll be something we'll look at in the future, doing some more live ones here and there. I don't want to overdo it. We have other shows like Hobby Hotline that me and Brody are part of, and Roughing the Passer for me that I already do. But again, I just want to close. I'll keep the closing short. We're at an hour and a half here, time wise. A sincere, heartfelt thank you. I love doing this show. you guys out there make it possible. We're going to take next week off, send some of these prizes out to their respective winners, and we'll be back, I believe it's November 13th, with episode 101, and crazy to even say that. So thank you, everybody, from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate that. Stay safe. Happy Halloween. Brody, keep doing what you're doing, man. Awesome stuff.
You too, man. Congrats on a hundy.
All right. Thank you.
1,000 before you know it.
I'm not going to live that long, that, unless they get like they get a cure where we live forever. So, but Brody, thank you, man. Hey, thanks everybody. So much, take care.
Peace out, everybody.
Take care.